John 10, starting at the 11th verse, let us pray. God, we thank you for this opportunity to learn more about you. Father, we thank you that, Father, that you give us this word, this Logos, that God, that we can eat of it and become more like you daily. And Father, you don't just give us your Logos, Father, but you give us your Rhema, God, your revelation, God, that continues to reveal yourself more and more as we enter into more dimensions of you. God, I pray, Lord, that this word, God, would be exactly what we need. Father, your people don't need milk. Father, your people need meat today. Give us something to sustain us. Give us something to build us up. Give us something, Father, that will speak directly to the issues and the situations that we have in our lives. God, and as always, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Let everybody say amen. John 10, beginning at the 11th verse, this is the reading of the word of God. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Again, the Jews were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, He has a demon and is out of his mind. Why listen to him? This is the reading of the word of God. In today's text, John records the fourth of seven I am declarations from Jesus. John's purpose in writing this gospel is to give us undeniable evidence of Jesus's divinity, that Jesus is the anointed one the prophets foretold. And John writes this to strengthen the faith of those who already believe, to believe that there in Jesus is where you find true life. In this portion of the text, John records Jesus' teaching that he is the good shepherd. John records this immediately after Jesus teaches us that he is the door. The door which serves as an access point to the sheep. And so those hearing Jesus' teaching would also comprehend this metaphor, because sheep herding and shepherding was a common occupation of those in this region. Jesus, by declaring that he is the door, contrasts himself against the Pharisees, who instead of protecting the sheep from robbers and thieves, have themselves become robbers and thieves. The door, a means of protection, is what we learned about Jesus last week. And from this discourse, Jesus then tells them that not only am I the door, but I am also the good shepherd. It should be understood that Jesus did not say that he is a good shepherd, but Jesus says he is the good shepherd. In doing this, Jesus is differentiating himself by elevating his character, his authority, his divine nature, and his kingdom rule above all other shepherds. Jesus is saying to those who will listen, he's saying something like this, fellas. He's saying, I'm not a man, but I'm the man. Y'all, you know what I mean, brothers. Y'all know what I mean. Ladies, he's saying, I'm not a lady in his life. I am the lady in his life. Y'all know what I mean, right? Jesus is reminding us that he is the good shepherd. Which brings me to my first teaching point, that Jesus is teaching us that he is not a, but he is the good shepherd. The Greek word for good here is kalos, which describes that which is noble, that which is wholesome, that which is good, and that which is beautiful. Jesus here is contrasting that to something that is wicked, something that is ugly, something that is foul, something that is unlovely. And what he's also doing is he is also telling us not just something that is good looking on the exterior, but something that carries with it an internal beauty, an internal character, an internal and innate goodness that is not found in other shepherds. In Matthew 19 and 17, when a man came to Jesus, Kevin, and calls him a good master, Jesus responds by telling him, why are you calling me good? There is none good but God. So what Jesus is doing is he is saying that I am divine and I am a spiritual shepherd that is unlike any human shepherd that you have experienced. When the word good is used for the first time in John's gospel, it's used in John the second chapter. If you remember, in John the second chapter, this is when Jesus turns the water into wine. And in that context, the word good is sometimes translated as the choice wine or the best wine or the most excellent wine. So here, what Jesus is trying to tell us, that he is an excellent shepherd that is elevated above all that have come before him. So therefore, in using the phrase, the good shepherd, Jesus is referring to his inherent goodness and beauty and his righteousness. And as the shepherd of the sheep, he is telling us that I am the one who will protect you and guide you and nurture you and feed you. Jesus then juxtaposes himself to a hired hand who cares more about what they can get from watching the sheep than caring for the protection and the flourishing of the sheep. Jesus, as the good shepherd, is highlighting to us his faithfulness versus the hired hand who only cares about a paycheck. Did you know this? That shepherds in ancient times were usually not the owners of the flock. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Was new for me. But a shepherd was given this assignment or this role because they were expected to care for the sheep just like they owned it. And what would happen here is Jesus is saying that the shepherd, the good shepherd that I am, I'm going to care for you like you are my own. But a hired hand, a hireling, at the moment that they see trouble, is going to run and leave you unprotected. In Jesus' juxtaposition of himself as the good shepherd, he's not just calling out the Pharisees, but he is also pointing out that sheep who are led by hired hands are not experiencing the full flourishing that God has for his sheep. Jesus, the good shepherd, is good because he also has intimate knowledge of his sheep. He knows his sheep by name. He knows the proclivities of his sheep. He knows the weaknesses of his sheep. He knows what the temptations of his sheep. He knows the trouble that we are more likely to get into. He knows the things that will draw our attention and pull us away from the flock. But a hireling is not concerned because they only care about what they get. Jesus says, I am this because I am sent from God. Hearing Jesus say this right after declaring in John 10:10 that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you would have life and have it more abundantly, the hearer would have understood what Jesus was telling him, that I'm not like them, and what you have experienced with them is not what God has for you. I am here to give you life. Life, life, the Greek word zoe. Is a word that means a life or an experience or an existence that comes from and is sustained by God himself. Jesus is declaring when he says that I have come that you would have abundant life, this life that is shared intimately by God, he is saying that I have come to give you an existence that comes from God, that is sustained by God, and makes us more like Jesus. Jesus is saying, I have come to lead you into this blessed life. So from this, there's a couple of truths that we can get from this. All of that was introduction, amen. There's a couple of truths we can get to. I was going somewhere. Y'all was like, come on, pastor. I got you. Here's a couple of truths that we can learn from this. Y'all ain't going to get quiet on me. A couple of truths that we can gain from this. The first truth that we need to really understand is that most of us are not experiencing the good shepherd because we have been entangled by another shepherd. I'm gonna say that again. Most of us are not experiencing the good shepherd because we have been entangled with another shepherd. If you can't say amen, say ouch. Another shepherd, I mean, it's the truth. Come on, I'm going to say it first. Ouch. Another shepherd, Pastor Kevin, another person or another thing that leads us from the presence of God. Another shepherd, a relationship, oh my, that we ain't supposed to be in, that leads us from, even though they want to pray, but they don't, they say they save, but they don't ever want to pray. A bad shepherd, something that takes us out of the very purpose and plan that God has for our lives. Some of us have been so entangled in a world of work that we forget that we were called to be husbands and men who first care for our family. Some of us have been entangled in sin and addiction. Some of us can experience God because we have been entangled with another shepherd. Whew. Yeah. Father, forgive me. Here is the second truth we need to be honest about. That because we have been entangled by other shepherds, many of us, as the sheep, even struggle to believe and trust in God. Because what we thought was a good shepherd really was a hired hand. Here, let me give you an example of that. We thought this was our Boaz. We thought this was the job. The salary was right. The hours were right. Everything looked right. And all of a sudden, it went wrong. Wait a second. Did I miss God? I thought she was the one, brother. I thought she was the one. I had the ring. I had been writing her name with my last name. I was picking out the house, trying to figure out what we was gonna name our kids. I thought she was the right one, but the reality was it was a bad shepherd. And then when the good one came, all of a sudden, come on, y'all, the good one came, and all of a sudden, I don't know about him. I mean, the other one presented themselves like they were good, too, and then 6 months later, now look at them. We've experienced bad shepherds, so when the good one appears, we struggling to trust and believe. And so because of that, here is the third truth we need to get from this. Many of us need to detox or untangle ourselves from bad shepherds so we can experience the good shepherd. Many of us need to detox or be untangled from bad shepherds so we can experience the good shepherd. Oh, but thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph because he sends the good shepherds. We will know because he will lead us beside still waters. He will restore our souls. He will lead us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that the good shepherd Jesus appears, not only because I'm tired of laying down in bad pastures, but there's a life that God desires for me to lay down in that I can't lay down in until I'm untangled from my entanglements. And this is my second point. Jesus is the untangler when we are entangled. Our good shepherd has the weaponry, the arsenal, not only to defend the sheep, but from itself, but for also from wild animals and from people and things that desire to steal, kill, and destroy the sheep. But the even better part about Jesus is Jesus understood and understands that in defending the sheep, it also exposes him to attack. This shepherd, our good shepherd, knows this, but he does it anyway because he recognizes his purpose and his authority, and he understands that there is a purpose for us that only he can bring about. This is why he is the good shepherd. Jesus understands that in order to untangle our entanglement with sin, he must expose himself to the cross, and he does it because he is the good shepherd. Jesus does it because he loves you and I, and he does it because he also understands that no one's taking anything from him. He's giving it, and he also has the ability to take it back. The main duty of a shepherd, remember, is to care for the flock. And that care involves not only just defending the sheep, but it also means that he has to feed the sheep, and we know that Jesus does that. It also means that the shepherd is responsible for providing rest for the sheep. A hired man would run away if he saw that his life was threatened, but Jesus voluntarily and deliberately puts himself in our place by laying down his life for his sheep. This brings me to my third point. Jesus does this because he understands that he is the connector to the kingdom and to the king. He says it was his father's will. It was his great love for the sheep. And in doing so, Jesus paved the way for us to enter into the most amazing pasture of all, which is the very presence of the living God. Jesus lays down his life as our good shepherd that we might be able to eat of the fruit of his death, of his burial, of his resurrection, and of his ascension. And that just doesn't mean, I want to tell you, that we get to go to heaven. What that means for us is that as we live, that Jesus daily leads us beside still water. Jesus daily brings us into green pastures. Jesus daily protects us from all hurt, harm, or danger. It means that daily we have the Spirit of God that dwells in us and leads us and guides us into all truth. It means that every day that we are surrounded by a hedge of protection. It means that every day we have angels on guard standing ready to be dispatched at our word. The good shepherd goes before us and dies for us because he wants us to experience full life every single day. Glory to God. Y'all, there's something I learned about sheep. So usually, Dr. Reed, when I hear people preach, y'all know I've been in church my whole life. I mean, whole life. Like no secular music, whole life. Sorry, mama, it's the truth. We couldn't listen to Whitney Houston growing up. Jesus, I mean, Whitney Houston, what she do to somebody? Anyway, flashback. Deliverance. Usually, when I hear people teach and preach about sheep, I hear them refer to sheep as dumb. Did anybody else experience, was that you like, sheep are dumb? They need a shepherd because sheep are dumb. But do y'all know that sheep are actually pretty intelligent? Sheep can recognize and remember approximately 50 faces of those who are familiar to them. I didn't know that. Did you know that sheep by nature are social animals? That's why you typically see them staying together. And they do this also because this is how they protect themselves. Sheep understand that if they move together and stay together, it lessens the possibility for an animal or for a person to come and attack them. But sheep are also smart enough to understand that even though we're moving together, I need to stay at a distance that's safe enough that if we are attacked or you get too close, I'm gonna run from you. Sheep are not stupid at all. So it's interesting because sheep also understand that sheep can tell or see a animal or something coming from them or towards them about 1,500 yards away. That's like 1,500 football fields away. That's pretty far. So sheep are not dumb. I just want to say that they're not dumb, but they are a dependent species. They are dependent on one another, and they are dependent on their shepherd. So this made me think, because I was wondering, if sheep are dumb, why we want them? I'm gonna tell you. When I used to steal stuff, I didn't steal stuff unless I had. Judge your mama. It's a colloquialism, I'm joking. I didn't steal something that didn't have any value to it, right? Like, when I stole baseball cards, so that tells you how young I was. I stole baseball cards and Mambas. They don't even make Mambas anymore. I used to steal a bunch of Mambas. Anyway, one day I'll tell y'all how I stopped stealing, because I got my sister in trouble because she tried to steal and got caught. But you only steal if it's valuable, right? Like, you wouldn't, a thief, or if there was a need. So thieves, this robber, this enemy, is not just haphazardly trying to kill, steal, or destroy you, but this enemy is doing this because it recognizes the value and the need that there is for you in the earth. Are you catching this? Why would he do this? Why would the enemy spend so much time trying to kill, steal, or destroy something that he or God didn't need? He or want or desire or love. And this is what I needed to tell you, that the day we understand the value and the love and the need that God has for us, that the love that God has for us, it would help us understand why he says, I am the good shepherd and I'm going to protect you. And because you have value to me, I am not going to let anything harm you or hurt you or destroy you. I'm going to make sure that you lay in green pastures. I'm going to make sure that you are strong, because there is value and need inside of you. And many of us are living below the life that God has because we haven't recognized that there is value and need and desire for you. And as long as we are entangled by the works of the devil, we will never fully step into everything God has called and given us life for. You are valuable to God. He's working overtime. The enemy works overtime to find things that can attach itself to you that would make you diminish how you think about yourself and diminish how you think God sees you, because it's really not about how God sees us. It's about how we see God. So if we don't see God as a way out of no way, we will never open ourselves to expect God to make a way out of no way. If we don't see ourselves as people who can be healed, then when sickness comes, then we'll just say, oh, this is what it is, instead of saying, no, I serve a God who says that by his stripes I am healed. If you don't believe that there is a such thing as a good relationship, then every time you get into a relationship, you are fulfilling a prophecy that you prophesied. But if you believe that there is a such thing as a good relationship, then you will move and act and respond to things in a way that brings about the goodness and the value that is tied to the thing that you have belief in. So when he is coming for you, he's coming to attack your faith and your hope, because if you ever believe that you are more than a conqueror, then you will start acting in the world like more than a conqueror. If you can believe that you are healed, then you will begin to move in your workplaces as someone who is healed. So Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd, is unlocking in you the keys to the kingdom that says, go into a broken world and tell them of a Savior who will protect them and who will keep them and who loves them better and more than they have ever loved before. He is the good shepherd and is connecting us to the key to the kingdom and to the king. He tells us in Luke that it is my good pleasure to give you the keys to the kingdom. I have come that you would have life, and that life you will have more abundantly. Jesus connects us because he is the connector. Do you know what happens? Do you know what happens? Y'all can go ahead and clap. That's good. That's good. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Do you know what happens when we realize that this life that Jesus has for us, when we realize that, we step into a new dimension of freedom? And Jesus tells us in the book of Galatians, he says that it is for freedom that I have set you free. He says, stand fast in the liberty where I have made you free, and don't be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. And he says this because he understands that free people move and think differently. Free people disrupt evil systems. Free people go into places that are oppressing people and flips over tables and demands changes in systems. Free people go and work not just for the improvement of themselves, but for the improvement of those who are being disadvantaged. Free people see trouble as an opportunity for the glory of God to be revealed. Free people understand their authority and take their rightful place. Free people say things like, the Lord gives gives and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Free people recognize that they are a peculiar people, that they are a holy nation, that they are set apart for the work of Jesus Christ and to be a part of the redemption of the city and all creation. Free people see the devil coming and tell the devil that there is authority. I have authority and power above you, and you've got to flee because the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus are against you. Free people live like they live in freedom and don't walk around and allow fear to control them. Free people say that I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me, and that there is nothing that is going to happen in this life that will keep me from the presence and the promise of God. Jesus came to make you and I free to live and free to move and free to love and free to dance and sing. It is for freedom that he says, I am the good. I'm the good shepherd. Hallelujah. Whew. And then lastly, and I'm going to get out your way. Y'all got me sweating today. This is my workout. He says that my flock is diverse and that there are others who belong that I got to go get. Here it is. Jesus is telling us that there is a tribe, there are other tribes, other ethnicities, other people, who other tongues, other races, that belong to me, and it is our responsibility, as those who are Christ-like, to be a part of their redemption. We are supposed to be the good shepherds for them. We are they who go into the world and be a part of the restoration that Jesus has called for us to be. He is the good shepherd. And as our good shepherd, he gives us the authority and the power to be shepherds, good shepherds, for others. Let us pray. God, we thank you. God, we thank you for being our good shepherd. Thank you, God, for allowing us to experience your protection and your safety and your feeding and your green pastures, and for allowing us to have rest in you. Father, we thank you, God, that you have proven over and over and over again to us that you are our good shepherd. And so now, God, we ask that this word, Father, would be implanted into our spirits, that, Lord, as we go into this world, Father, that, Lord, that any opportunity that you present to us, Father, to show your kingdom reign and rule, that, God, you would give us the wisdom, that you would give us the words, that you would give us the knowledge to be obedient to what you have called us to be. Father, and we thank you, and we honor you, and we love you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.